says, therefore, go and do what? Make disciples of all nations, right? Baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and what? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And then his promise that he would be with us through the very end of the age. First question on this particular section, as we've been talking about Jesus dying on the cross and his willingness to die and so forth. So he died for sin, to take away sin, to save all men. And it was the fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham, right? That through you, all nations of the earth would be blessed, right? And so when Jesus says, go into all the world, right? Go to all nations, it is continuing that. His desire has always been salvation for all people who would accept him. So the question that we have here to begin this particular part is, why was Jesus raised? Okay. Okay. All right. It proves that he was the Son of God. Look in Romans chapter 1. Okay. Verse 4, where Paul wrote, and through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. So one of the reasons, or one of the things that is a result of that, is that he was declared with power to be the Son of God. Now, why is that doctrine, that concept, so important? Okay. Okay.
They thought that was blasphemy, but he was saying he was the Son.
Okay, all right. One of the things that he was accused of over and over again, and they got upset with him, was his claiming to be God. Okay. And this is a declaration, declares with power that he was the Son of God. Okay. Why else would it be important, that particular understanding and doctrine, teaching, that people understand that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. And actually, if he didn't die, which again, as you point out, any other religion that you know of has a God that died for them? Absolutely not. Okay? And so therefore, if they don't have a God who died for them, then they don't have one who rose for them on their behalf. That is something unique about our God. Okay? What else do we see concerning that? Look in Romans 4. Okay, what else do you have here? Why was Jesus raised? Wes, did you? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead and read that for us, please. Verse 24. Or 25, 24 and 25.
Okay. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification.
Okay. So part of what was accomplished through his resurrection was our justification. Right? What does that mean? To be justified. We talked about justice last week. We were talking some about that, and that's oftentimes what we want when somebody wrongs us, is we want justification. But here, Paul says that's what we receive with Jesus' resurrection. I'm sorry. Okay.
He died for all of our sins.
Okay. All right.
And so that allows us to be able to be with him eternally.
Okay. Yes.
I was going to say it's pretty much the same. That proves that God accepted Jesus in our place.
Okay.
For the crisis of our sin. And so, like you said, that clears the slate for us. Okay. So it proves that because he raised him up, it proves that he accepted him back. And the debt is paid.
Okay. And so he died in our place, though we were justified, okay, before God, right?
God justified you because he is a child. You got to think about how much respect
okay.
But he is justifying us, he makes it very good.
Okay.
And because he does it, I don't even know what he means.
Okay. All right. Think about it this way. Can anyone stand before God unless they are justified? Why not? Because of sin.
Yeah.
Okay? But is that justification something that we could do on our own? No. So if every single one of us were crucified like Jesus for our sins, would that have brought justification on any of us? No. Not at all. And so Jesus' resurrection from the dead conquers death for us, and it brings that justification that we need to be able to stand before God. Wes?
Isn't it also because of the fact that we know that the price of sin is death, but because Jesus had no sin, but he died in our behalf, isn't that the most important thing? Because of the fact that he didn't have anything.
Yeah.
And the reason why he died was because of all of our sin.
Exactly.
So that covers, we pay the debt because we are already sinned. He didn't sin, so he's paying the debt, as we saw him saying, he paid the debt we didn't owe.
And that we couldn't pay.
Right.
Okay. You realize that his dying on the cross, the fact that he died as a perfect sinless person, that no one else could accomplish what he accomplished. Okay, and it could not be done in any other way. Through any other way or any other person. We know that because when Jesus prayed in the garden, what did he ask the Father to do? I'm sorry? Let this cup pass me. In other words, please don't make me go through this, okay? He did not want to have to go through that. The humanity side of him was saying, I don't want to go through this. And basically is saying, if there's any other way to accomplish our mission, don't make me go through this. Right? And sometimes, when we've got stuff going on in our lives and we pray to God and ask Him to do whatever, fix whatever situation, and He says no. right? We got to remember, what did he say to Jesus? Basically, there is no other way. There is no other way to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, that is, reconciliation with God, except by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. If there were another way for it to be done, wouldn't that have been tremendously cruel for the Father to make Jesus go through that? And there was another way? And so I think sometimes we kind of brush over that whole scene in the garden when Jesus is asking that, not really understanding the total impact of that. That there really, truly was no other way to accomplish that reconciliation that God wanted, that he had talked about way back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve first sinned. There was no other way to have that done except by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I believe so. I mean, the crucifixion itself was a horrific, horrific way for someone to die. And my understanding is that typically a person was punished by either flogging or crucifixion, but not both. Okay? And yet Jesus endured both. So, yeah, why? Because the sins of mankind, understand this, okay, and this is a good point, I'm glad you brought this out. Understand this, that how much sin is Jesus atoning for? Everyone, meaning what? Okay, but from when to when? Goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, from the first sin and all the way to when? Whenever the Lord comes back again. Okay? So that's a heap of sin, isn't it? And yeah, he went through what he went through to atone for that for us. Just kind of let that sink in a little bit. Okay? So Jesus is raised from the dead. So the next question on here says, how does his being alive help men to be forgiven? Anybody got an answer for that one?
Jesus will intercede for us.
He knows. Okay.
How he knows the troubles and the temptations we face.
Okay.
So he knows. He understands how we sin.
Okay.
Or why we sin.
Okay.
But he's there to intercede. But he lived as a human. Even though he did not do no sin, he at least has an understanding.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. What else? Karen? Okay. Remove the sin. Yeah, absolutely. The writer of Hebrews in the text here, in Hebrews 7, verse 25, says, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Okay? He always lives to intercede for them. 1 John chapter 1, text we've talked about a lot of different times, John there talks about us walking in the light, right? And he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, who's the he he's talking about? Okay, all right. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The one another is with God there, right? Okay. And then what else happens? And the blood of his son purifies or cleanses us from how much sin? All sin. Okay? You know, I like to, you know, play with that word a little bit. So how much of our sin is not cleansed? Okay, there is none. Okay? All is everything, right? Okay, so he doesn't, well, you know, I'm sorry, but that sin is just too big. You never should have done that one. You shouldn't have gone there, so, but everything else I'll forgive. Right? Doesn't happen. All sin. And remember, the most important thing about that text is that the word for purifies, or some of your translation says cleanses, the word in the original language is in the present tense. Okay? So what does that mean? Why is that important that we understand that that word is in the present tense? Yeah, because it's happening right now, right? It's an ongoing thing. It's not something that just happened one time, you know, when he died and rose again. It's something that is ongoing. So how can that happen if he's dead? You see? So again, the significance of his being raised from the dead. He is alive. The next thing that John says is, you look in 1 John chapter 2, all right, and this is vitally important to our understanding of Jesus being alive today. He tells us what? He says, my dear children, I write these things to you so that you will not what? Sin. Okay? But if anybody does sin, what do we have? A defense attorney. Okay? He says, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice or the propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours, but for whose? The sins of the whole world. Again, how can he be our advocate if he's not alive? You see? So we need to understand that aspect of it. Yes, that he brought us reconciliation and righteousness. He understands, okay, what we go through in temptation, and because he understands that, he's able to be our advocate, or literally the language there is defense attorney, okay, because he knows how we feel. He knows what temptation is like. Let me ask you a question. We talk about Jesus being, you know, knowing these things. He knows what it's like. Because could Jesus have sinned? I'm sorry?
If he had sinned,
he could be perfect. Okay, but I didn't ask if he sinned. I said, could he have sinned? How do we know that?
Because
he was tempted. You cannot be tempted to do something you cannot do. And we really need to understand that as we look at, you know, again, what the writer of Hebrews says. Okay? He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Okay? If he couldn't sin, he would not have been tempted in every way like you and I are. Okay? We really need to understand that about Jesus. He could have, but he didn't. See? And his being tempted allows him to know what you and I face when we are being tempted. See? If he weren't able to sin, then there would have been no temptation. And, you know, that whole thing, you know, in the wilderness with Satan as he began his ministry would have been a joke. Okay? There's no point in any of that. Okay? And notice that at the end of that story, the end of that passage, what does it say about Satan? Anybody recall? What? Yeah, he left him for a season. In other words, he came back. Okay? He came back, and that, in other words, those weren't the only temptations that Jesus faced. All right? So again, that should help us to understand this Son of God who died for us, right, also was risen so that he could represent us before God in this whole justification. Right? So that when we stand before the judgment seat of God, and every single one of us will, right?
Yeah.
We have to give an account for the deeds done in the body, the Bible says, right? Okay? So when we stand there before God and the accuser is there, and I've told you this before, but it bears repeating, you know, think about being in a courtroom. How many of y'all have ever been in court? Okay, what are y'all in court for? Misbehaving, right? Okay, no, just teasing with you. But you know this. You know, everybody's seen it on TV, right? You got the judge sitting up there, and you got the prosecuting attorney, and you got the defense attorney. And in this scenario, Satan is the prosecuting attorney, and our defense attorney, according to what John says, is Jesus. And so Satan is accusing. He is the accuser.
You know, the nice thing is that Romans 2:16 said that Jesus is also a judge.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if your defense attorney
is a judge too? Yeah.
That would be an advantage.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And so as the accuser accuses us, okay, the Father looks over our life. And he says, I don't see any sin there. The only thing I see is what? The blood of my Son Jesus. Why? Because as I've been walking in the light, his blood has been cleansing or purifying me of my sin. Now that's not, as we've said before, that's not permission for us to sin. We don't, okay, well he's gonna cleanse me of sin so I can go out and sin all I want to. No. Why? Paul said, we died to sin. How can we, what? Live in it any longer. So it's not permission for us to sin. It's the reality that because we're, you know, in spiritual warfare, we're going to stumble sometimes. But God doesn't see the sin. He sees the blood of his Son. Okay. And we have that advocate, that defense attorney that says concerning whatever we've done in our life, Father, that's the reason I died. So, is to take away those sins. Not roll them back. Right? Not roll them back, as you said, but to completely forgive them. See? Aren't you? Yes. And you know, we've talked about and mentioned that whole aspect of his humanity and his divinity at the same time. He was both God and he was both man. And so how does he do that? I don't know. Okay? I do not know how that can be. Except that he's God.
Christ, we are all men most miserable.
Absolutely.
You know, just,
yeah.
So it's a hope of the resurrection that for both people who want to see the same
right.
and move forward.
Well, and the other thing about that, and what Paul emphasizes there too in that, is the fact that because Jesus was raised, okay, what then does that allow for? Us what? What? Yeah, our own resurrection, right? Our own resurrection that he's going to bring to us. Again, if Jesus weren't raised from the dead, he wouldn't be able to come back again to take us to be with him. You see? And so, you know, Paul's arguing there against those who are saying there is no such thing as a resurrection of the dead. Doesn't exist. Doesn't happen. And he's saying, oh yeah, it does. It happened. In fact, Christ was raised. And if he hadn't, then, as it says, we who put our hope in him are to be pitied more than all men. Because we've hoped in something that is absolutely hopeless if he hasn't been raised. Okay? Okay, so let's talk about... I'm sorry, Ray, do you have a comment?
I really want to thank you. And God,
go there to prepare a place for you, he said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will do what? I will come back to take you to be with me where I am.
Amen.
Right? Okay. So, sing that song, I always think about, I want the room with a jacuzzi. All right, let's talk for a minute. Okay, all of these things, we talk about Jesus and what he's accomplished, what his death, burial, and resurrection has done for us. All right, then on the back page, the last page here at the top, what does Jesus want his disciples to do? What is our responsibility here? Okay? Go to all the world and do what?
Tell them.
Okay? All right, Wes? And as he sent out his disciples, he said, you will be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth, right? So to all the world. So the next question on here, why does Jesus want the gospel preached to all nations? Is this what he prayed for? I mean, after all, aren't there just some folks that are special? Okay. What'd you say, Wes?
What you mean special?
Spatial.
Some are spatial. Pretty spatial. And, you know, we laugh about that, but the reality is that not what the Israelites thought? You see, to us, we read this and we go, well, yeah, we're supposed to go out to all nations. Well, weren't they supposed to, too? Okay.
But they were exclusive. The Jews were exclusive.
Right.
They kept the gospel to themselves. They didn't blend with the world.
Right. So they didn't do what God intended for them
Absolutely.
To do.
Okay.
I think that's like they started out trying to do this. But as generation goes on and you lose a little less generation,
okay,
and they in the loss purpose of being lost. It was more of not spreading, but this is ours.
Right.
He's going to keep it for us. To save just us. You know?
Yeah, but one thing we have to realize is that the Jews, the Israelite people, were willing to accept Gentiles as proselytes or converts to Judaism. Okay, if you were a Gentile and you wanted to become a Jew, you could do that, and they had provision for that. Okay, all right, and so it really was kind of the idea that, you know, we've got Abraham as our father and we have Moses as the lawgiver, right? And so if you want what we have, you've got to come to us. Because they certainly were not going to go out and mingle and make themselves unclean by interacting with Gentiles. Okay? Yeah.
They're God's chosen people, and that seems like the way they like it.
Okay. Watch your toes now. Are we sometimes not guilty of the same thing? We sit in a church building and we go, aren't we so glad we got Jesus? Sure wish more people would come visit us. You know? And though I don't know that our attitude is such that they're unclean and we don't want to have anything to do with them, and if they want to, they got to come in and get circumcised. That was what they had to do under the law. Okay, but is the attitude not still the same? That we kind of can find ourselves going, yeah, we got it, and you don't. If you want it, come let us know. Is that what Jesus told us to do? Does that sound like go into all the world? Say, and so, you know, what does he really want us to do? Not sit as a saved group and go, okay, don't we feel good about ourselves, and anybody that wants it can come and we'll be glad to give it to them. Rather than going into our Jerusalem and our Judea, as we've been talking about, and sharing the message with those that we can. Again, notice the question here has to do with all nations. Okay, why does Jesus want the gospel preached to all nations? He wants everyone to have opportunity to be saved. Peter writes to us that God is patient. Why? Not wanting anyone to perish, but all men to come to repentance. And as we mention and talk about, and mentioned it already this morning once, we talk about it all the time, that it goes all the way back to the promise that God made to Abraham, right?
Yeah.
That through you, all nations of the earth would be blessed. In other words, that salvation is open to everyone. There is no group that is special in terms of location or nationality or skin color or anything else as far as God is concerned, because, as you mentioned, God is not a respecter of persons, right? And so truly salvation is intended for all nations, not just for some. So, next question on here. Why should we try to help men be forgiven? Chuck?
Jesus died on the cross, and well, really coming down from heaven and being lowered down, and that was show of love that has ever been and ever will be, and that was God showing his love for us. And he wants us to
Okay? Okay.
And then I was going to say that somebody helped us, so we should go and help others that don't help.
Yeah.
Or try.
Yeah. What's the common, the term that's used today that kind of fits that?
Great.
We need to pay it forward?
Yeah.
Isn't that really what we're talking about? Pay it forward? Salvation was brought to us by somebody. And you know, what Jesus wants us to do is to pay it forward. Take it to somebody else and share it with them so they can have the same opportunity that we do. Pay it forward. Wes?
I see this prayer because I was thinking of the process of, like, when you see a crowd of people, everything is dodging, you pick one candle in the front.
Yeah.
And then like another candle, and then like, and then you see it, it's spreading out, and that's why you got a whole area of light. So it's the same thing with the gospel.
Yeah.
Doing that, it's spreading it, and you know, it's spreading the word, but it's going to work out what Christ wanted us to do.
And you never know where that one person that you might bring to the Lord, who they might bring, and who they might bring, and so forth and so on. You just never know where it will lead. Okay, list some things we can do to help men be forgiven. What can we do specifically? What do you have on your sheet there? Things that we can do to help people be forgiven.
Talk about Jesus and tell them what he had done for us.
Okay.
And then perfectly my story.
Okay.
What he has really done for me. And by living out Jesus' teachings, so
okay,
they can see it in action.
Okay. All right. Good. What else? Okay. All right. Forgive folks. All right. All right. Yeah. We gotta let them see Jesus. Okay. What else? Do we sometimes need to challenge people? You know? It is. We're gonna talk about that this morning in our worship lesson. Okay? That sometimes that's what we need to do, is challenge people. Okay?
The statement you just made, my first thought, we also need to challenge ourselves.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely, we do. Okay. Next week we will begin lesson number 3. All right, the church and missions unto the city. So if anybody does not have a set of the lessons, let me know. I've got some in my office. I can give those to you. Now, before we finish up, can I embarrass y'all by asking you what your names are?
It's Eric Lee Smith.
Okay. Okay, it's great to have you all with us. You just kind of vacationing, traveling through? Or?
Traveling through on the way to Baltimore.
All right, okay. Why would you want to get on this test? No, glad that you all came through and stopped to visit with us and be here with us today. Appreciate it very much. All right. Okay. That's all. That's all the soap I got today. Thank you all very much.